Let's get ready for the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Good morning, podcast audience. Today's podcaster, Kenny Hodge, with a podcast pertaining to 204B's overtime and issues along that line. Now, it is no secret that I have over 25 years in postal management, so I am naturally in favor of a 204B program, but there needs to be, more guidance provided, because, a lot of union brothers and sisters say, if you're a 204B, don't talk to me. Well, that's just crazy that anyone would intentionally want to stop someone's work progression. Now, That's just my take on that. But I think the 204B program is an excellent program, but there are rules and regulations that govern how that program is supposed to be administrated. In one of the main articles with respect to 204Bs and mail handlers, or 204Bs and postal employees, they have to be on a 1723, which is a notice of a higher level detail, the same form that drivers don't use when they go from level 4 to level 5. Now, once they're on that 1723, for all intents purposes, that is the Form 50. I don't know where people get this thought that they're just a 204B. The only difference, and listen to me very carefully, again now, unless there's been some union arbitrations that state differently, but I'm telling you fact, the only difference between an employee on the 1723 to act as a supervisor and a regular Form 50 supervisor is the Form 50 is permanent. Anything that Form 50 does, that person on a 1723 higher level assignment has the right to do. Now, whether the post office actually trained them in all these areas, well, that's a management decision. But understand that as a 204B, again, an authorized 204B, you are that Form 50. Yes, you can hold, and I'm not trying to give a pep talk. I'm just trying to give you the realm of your authority. You can hold PDIs. If you feel necessary to write discipline, you can do that. Now, as a scapegoat, a lot of you think, well, I'll tell you what to do. I'll get on your nerves, but I won't sign my name to whatever discipline may come your way. And I'm not advocating discipline. What I'm simply trying to do is explain to that 204B that you have every right and privilege that the EAS supervisor, SDO, has. Now, again, there are special things they get that you don't get. Like, for example, if you work a 10-hour day, 8 of your hours are at straight time, and 2 of those hours are going to be at overtime, probably back to your craft assignment, but overtime nonetheless. Well, while on the other hand, if that supervisor works 10 hours, that's 10 hours of straight time. They don't get overtime. They get this nonsense called tea time. And most MDOs will almost have a heart attack if the SDOs actually use that tee time. So most of the times when you see your supervisor in that building all day, much of that time is free time because they're afraid to ask to get paid for it. Okay, let's go right to the national agreement. I think it's page 150. Memorandum of Understanding. It deals with overtime for acting supervisors. The parties agree to the following regarding the scheduling of an employee detailed as an acting supervisor or detailed to an EAS position. A craft employee working as an acting supervisor or in a detailed EAS position is ineligible to work overtime at the beginning or end of his or her tour on any given day during the term of the detail, unless all, and I do mean all, available bargaining unit employees on the overtime desire list are utilized. If the 204B or employee detailed to an ES position is on the overtime desire list, he or she may be scheduled for overtime after all of the available employees on the overtime list are utilized. If the 204B or detail EAS employee is not on the overtime desire list, then he or she will be scheduled according to Article 8.5D of the National Agreement after all available bargaining unit employees on the overtime desire list are utilized. Now, there's another paragraph on this MOU, and it reads, a craft employee working as an acting supervisor or detailed to an EAS position is eligible to be considered for an overtime assignment on his or her non-scheduled day immediately following the termination of his or her 204B or EAS detail in accordance with Article 8.5 of the National Agreement. Unless the mail handler is to continue on a 204B or EAS detail into the service week following the termination of his or her present 204B or EAS assignment. If that occurs, the 204B or detailed EAS employee would be ineligible for the overtime unless all available bargaining unit employees on the overtime desire list are first utilized for that non-scheduled day overtime. So that MOU addressed begin tour, end tour overtime, as well as non-scheduled day overtime for 204B. And I think if we were to summarize, I think we could leave here or leave that reading understanding. If you are a 204B, everybody on your overtime desire list should be used before you are allowed to work. That's begin tour, end tour, and non-scheduled day. Now, we have to understand, when you bring that 204B in on early overtime, and not everyone on the list is a part of that, then you've just violated the Memorandum of Understanding on 204B overtime. If you want that 204B to work, again, you have to understand that you have to exhaust your overtime desire list before you can allow that 204B to work without a Memorandum of Understanding violation. And it makes me wonder, because it's been years, a lot of years, since I've had access to the postal timekeeping system that you know as tax. But to the best of my knowledge, a mail handler on higher level can't get paid higher level in supervisor pay. So I guess their higher level is just them getting paid at their mail handler rate. Now, don't quote me on that, but I do know that some of your mail handlers at top rate, if they were allowed to get overtime at that top rate, that they would be making more money than the Form 50, and I just don't see the post office allowing that to happen. I'm pretty sure that on their overtime days, they're not 204Bs. They're getting paid as clerks or mail handlers. They're being put on a higher level, 1723. That's what gives them the authorization to be in charge of you. And that's what gives them the authorization to take actions like a Form 50. It's that 1723. Other interesting facts about that 204B could be found in Article 12.2B12, where it states that the mail handler temporarily detailed to a supervisory position, 204B, or detailed to a EAS position may not bid or be assigned to any vacant mail handler duty assignments while so detailed. However, nothing contained herein shall be construed to preclude such temporary detailed employees from voluntarily terminating a 204B or ES detail and returning to their craft position. After returning to the craft position, such employee may exercise their right to bid on vacant mail handler craft duty assignments. The duty assignments of a full-time or part-time regular mail handler detailed to an ES position or a supervisory position, including a supervisory training program in excess of 120 days, shall be declared vacant and shall be posted for bid in accordance with this article. And what I just said is, if you're on a higher level assignment for 120 consecutive days, shall be declared vacant and shall be posted for bid in accordance with this article. And I got to stop and I got to say something to the management and the 204Bs. That clearly states in excess of 120 consecutive is the key word here. If you are a 204B and you're up 2 days a week, even if it's for 5 years, you're never going to hit 120 consecutive days. So it is never necessary for you to stop covering those 2 days a week for one pay period to think that it makes you eligible to bid. You are always eligible to bid. But the problem is you have to ensure that your 1723 is a weekly 1723, and it is only showing the dates in which you are authorized higher level. Now, you have the lazy manager who realizes that you're only going to be up for 2 days a week, but rather than write you a 1723 every week, they'll just go with a begin and end date of 120 days, 140 days, or whatever it is. And if you allow that to happen, then you are eligible to lose your bid. Even though you were only acting 2 days a week, if your 1723 shows more than 120 consecutive days, then you're going to lose your bid. So I say to you, if you're going to act as a 204B and you're only up 1 or 2 days a week, 3 or 4 days a week, ensure that your manager gives you a proper 1723, and then you never have to come down to bid. Now, an employee detailed to an ES position or supervisory position must return to the craft for a minimum of one continuous pay period to prevent circumvision of the intent of this provision. So now a lot of people get confused and think you have to come down for a 2 week period. Yes, 2 weeks does constitute the number of days in a pay period, but your contract, again, is very specific. One continuous pay period. So if you come down off of your higher level assignment week two of a pay period, then notice, then please be aware that you now must be down for 3 weeks, because week two and week one will not constitute a pay period. Week one and week two will constitute a pay period. So very important, don't get hung up in the number of days when you see pay period. Well, everyone knows it's 2 weeks, but it must be one continuous pay period. So it's not 2 weeks. It has to be week one and week two of the same pay period. Last but not least, well, probably not even last, but Form 1723, Notice of Assignment, shall be used in detailing mail handlers to temporary supervisory positions or EAS detail positions. The employer will provide the union at the local level with a copy of this form, 1723, showing the beginning and ending of all such details. And with your new contract, once it's ratified, the copy of those forms will now be given at the branch level. So again, that's that 1723. That's the form that will allow the unions to track who's on higher level, who's not on higher level, whose higher level assignment is over, but mentally they think they're still in charge. So that gives the union a little ammunition to let the employees know that ABC is not on higher level and therefore is not in a chain of command that you should listen or follow any directions that they give you, while they have you under the impression, the false impression, that they're in management. If your union maintained the 1723s, they would always have that information to give to the employees. Because I meant personally,
Kenneth,
I don't like any of them. Including my Form 50. But again,
report
it's going
to
happen,
desk.
And it happens every day. But if you're not in charge, come on, we can have a lot of conversation, but don't take it upon yourself to give me guidance and direction. That's all I'm saying. So that 1723 is very important. And to my Facebook fellow mail handler, I hope I've done your request justice when you asked me to speak on 204Bs. If not, if I've left any information out, contact me and we'll sure add it. Have a great day. And I can always be contacted on Facebook or at Kenneth Hodge, npmhu304.com, to help get the word out on your ideas as well as my ideas. Have a great day.